Well, as expected, the South African Reserve Bank has cut rates for the first time in over a year. It's cut rates by 25 basis points to 6.5%, citing weak economic growth and inflation, which has stayed around the midpoint of its target range. We're joined on the line now by Peter Todd-Montalto from Intellidex for further interrogation of today's announcement. Thanks so much, Peter, for joining us on the line this evening. So no big surprises coming through, with the MPC assessing the risks for the growth forecast to be balanced in the near term, but remaining concern about longer term risks. It's cut rates overall. The key takeaways for you?
Good evening. Well, I think actually there were quite a few surprises in the statement. There were these two very hawkish alarm bells basically being rung in case, in particular, the Fed doesn't cut rates. And also around the strong, sort of significantly ascribed an upside risk that could develop around inflation as well. And overall, the tone was much more neutral than expected. I think people were expecting a more solidly dovish statement. I think that really spoke to the fact that the Saab here is very, very keen that people see this as a fiddle cut, if you like. It's not a cycle. This could well be the only one that we see. And so the statement in the Q&A was very carefully crafted to prevent markets running away with themselves around expectations of future cuts.
I guess this has to be considered within a global context and how international investors in particular are viewing what South Africa is doing with its monetary policy relative to what's happening in other parts of the world. Just today, South Korea surprisingly cutting rates. We've got India expected to be following suit as well.
Well, the Saab, I think, hates any comparison like that. And that sort of view came out a bit in Q&A. With some discussion around real rates relative to peers. And the Saab is very, very keen to say that there are the own domestic idiosyncratic issues around South African rates. And in particular, that's where this issue of fiscal risk premium, of the need to be cognizant of what's going on with ESCOM, or the massive step up that's about to occur in government bond issuance to fund an ESCOM bailout, they're very keen to make sure markets know about that and therefore not be tied into these runaway expectations about cuts just because other people are cutting.
Yeah, he was quite emphatic about the fact that policy space is needed to respond to shocks when they do happen down the road. In the meantime, what are you making of Rand reaction today? Quite a bit of strength filtering through on the back of that decision.
Well, I think there was some sort of erroneous expectations of 50 basis point one and done that was sort of taken out of the market. That was the principal reaction of the Rand today. But I think the largest component of the recent round strength we've seen is sort of the fall in offshore real rates, particularly in the US, and is less to do with South African idiosyncratic issues. I think the RAND probably is in for a little bit of a shock when we see the special appropriations bill next week and the severe underlying deterioration in fiscal that's currently going on.
Yeah, we've had the governor quite emphatic about some stabilization, coming through a convincing enough turnaround plan on government finances being tabled before any more aggressive a stance can actually be adopted by, monetary policy. Bank of America Merrill Lynch researchers penciling in that 25 basis point cut for today, but saying they're anticipating two more cuts in September and January. What are you seeing as far as scope for cuts down the line is concerned?
Well, the Saab, I think, has some difficulty being too aggressive, at least in public, on this fiscal risk premium issue. It can raise it, but it certainly can't egg it on too much. But I think a lot of bank analysts out there basically are underestimating the problems going on behind the scenes on ESCOM and getting increasingly concerned about the appropriations bill next week, not because of the money. I think it's generally accepted that we will get very large amounts of cash and that's required. But basically the policy space to actually solve ESCOM in a sustainable way really has been removed by ongoing battles of egos and of ministers and of ideology within government. And it's becoming increasingly clear there's no clear leadership on ESCOM to take difficult decisions either. And I think that will come out and become obvious from the lack of meaningful forward-looking statements that can really be said In the special appendix that will come out in the appropriations bill next week. Peter, so I'm getting more concerned on those issues.
Peter, with the, within that context then, to what extent has President Cyril Ramaphosa's reappointment of Kganyago as central bank governor for yet another term quelled some of the concerns that have been triggered as far as the role of the central bank and its independence is concerned?
Well, I think that was a clever move by the president, basically, to see off the start of a quite damaging debate, which was starting to brew within the NEC, but also amongst investors as well, about if Lacetti would be reappointed in November. So he's seen that off, certainly, and then the appointment of Fundi and Rashad as deputy governors. But that debate on the Saab is not dead. There are still lots of people knocking around Pretoria who are looking for easy way out, as opposed to taking difficult decisions on structural reforms. And so the Saab issue will keep coming up.
Well, let's leave it there, Peter. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Peter Tardmontalto is with Intellidex.